the Runner's Diary podcast with Brian and Damien.
Welcome to the Runner's Diary, episode 92. I'm Damien.
And I'm Brian. On this week's show, we'll have all the latest news, all of last week's results, featured fixtures.
And this week, we have a chat with Jason Nicol, fresh from his adventure at the Marathon des Sables. That's all to come on this week's episode of the Runner's Diary podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Pillow Performance.
Pillow Performance brings you the very best in sports micronutrition.
Hydration and fueling products will take you to the finish line, but Pillow will get you to the start line in your best condition over and over again.
As a Runner's Diary follower, you can avail a 15% discount online by using the promo code RUNNERSDIARY15 or go in store to the Edge in Kinsale Road, Cork, and mention this code at checkout when buying a Pillow Performance product.
Yeah, welcome back everybody to another week. Before I kick off, I want to say well done, Damien, on your interview with Nia of last week. I think it was a top class interview, one of the best. Do you know when you kind of come off one of the episodes and you kind of say that was actually educational? I think that was educational last week. I really enjoyed it. I picked up a kind of a lot, and just for enthusiasm, and even I think every time you mentioned Shauna, you could kind of feel that warmth coming from her in terms of their relationship.
Not Shauna.
I was going to let it off, but it's definitely Shauna and not Shauna. Yeah.
My apologies. But yeah, no, look, I really did enjoy the interview. I came off the phone after the interview that time, and I texted you, Shauna, and goes, this is a good interview. It's really enjoyable. There's so much more to go in that as well. So, you know, I do think a massive thank you again to Nia of, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to ask you, how's this week for you? I know it included a race that we probably will come to a bit more later on, but you had a good week of running. Good to see you back on the racing front.
Yeah, we'll come to it later on, but it was great to be back. We had a big family get together for the weekend, which did not involve running, so you know that kept up that time. It was a great weekend away and really enjoyable. But so out in the morning first thing, and the race kicked a bit of mojo back in, you know, you get that little appetite for it again. So I'm looking forward to this week of getting in running again. How was your week?
My week involved absolutely zero running because I'm preparing for that so-called race next Sunday, and I'm also preparing for communion in our house. But like that, I feel, do you know what? I'm going to say the word crap for not running. I feel, do you know, everything is falling apart around it. Do you know, when you're running and you're going well and you're probably eating a bit better and you're sleeping a bit better, everything is all over the place at the moment.
Yeah.
So I think from tomorrow on, I need to get back
Just get back a few miles, you know, and the same, it's just to get out, even to start off at 3-4 miles, and it's absolutely perfect.
Yeah,
Brian, for our interview this week, you got to have a chat with Jason Nicol. How did that go?
Yeah, I had a great interview with Jason there earlier this evening. So again, it might be a guy that, as I say, might be a name well known to many people, but certainly he had an outstanding event there at the Marathon des Sables. He finished 29th overall out of 800 people, and I know, as he says himself, it wasn't his he wasn't going there to be competitive, more just to finish it. But he takes us through, you know, the mental and physical challenge, which was incredible, and some of the things he had to go through were quite incredible as well, and also, you know, the training for it, which, as you can imagine, it's a hard event to train. And I won't spoil it, but some of the things he did, a bit like Alex O'Shea, who we'd on previously, some of the things they had to do to mimic the conditions that they were going to run in were, you know, it's mad stuff, to be honest about it.
Yeah, looking forward to actually listening to it now myself tomorrow on my run. So that's what I'm going to listen to it tomorrow, right? Right. So, Brian, busy week again last week. We had, of course, our T-shirt fundraiser for 2024 for Crumlin Hospital and Breakthrough Cancer. So again, head over to Rogan Sports. You can do your order over there, or we'll have a link up as well on our Instagram page. We are going to be posting this a lot more over the next coming week. So, you know, please get behind it. It's for a brilliant cause. Each T-shirt, €30, that's including delivery, and €15 of that is going to the charities. So it is a very, very worthy cause. And I think it's something that it's a great opportunity for runners, walkers, gym people, GA people, anybody to get behind and to, get a class t-shirt as well, which obviously was sported, was designed by Bween National School as well. So this week you're going to be hearing a lot about it, so on our social media channels. So please, please get out and support that. We really appreciate everyone who has done it so far, which has been plenty. So let's keep that going now. And we will be talking to Roland this week to try and get the first orders sorted on that.
Absolutely. And again, just coming up in the next week's podcast, we're actually going to talk to Breakthrough Cancer themselves and a person who has, I suppose, used their services. So we'll hear more about that. So it is going to hot up, as Damien said there. But again, thanks to everybody. Loads of people have tagged us to say they've ordered, and I know loads more are about to order. So definitely going to be seen around the place quite soon. Another announcement we had, of course, was the Cork After Party. And again, as we've been saying, the numbers, booking tables there is quite big. There's still plenty of room, but that's also hotting up. We're only 4 weeks away now from the after party. Some serious, serious prizes being lined up for people who are in attendance
I
that they
think
can
we'll
win.
name one. Will we
We'll
name the
name
first?
one.
We'll
Okay, we'll name the first prize.
we give the first prize, right? So we've got the first spot prize, all right? This now is one prize. So we're looking at having, we said last, right, we're not doing goodie bags, but we're going to concentrate on getting good spot prize. Well, this is a class spot prize. And this can only be won by people at the event, not before, not after, at the event. So, Brian, this is a three part for the winner is
Right.
going to get. First part, shout.
First part, I think, is 16 weeks coaching by Kieran McEwan.
Correct. Second part is you're going to be able to, from the performance lab, get two full VO2 tests, one at the start and one later on, to assess you for a marathon block. This is kind of the plan, is it's geared around someone who wants to do a marathon or a race. And you're going to have 16 weeks where you're going to be pretty much like a professional athlete at 4-1, so you're going to get a VO2 at the start and a VO2 test later on as well. So you're going to get that. And the third, Brian.
Third part then is a 16-week nutrition plan as well from Ben Lee Smith. Ben had been on with us before. So like again, that's nearly a full marathon package for someone. So you have the coaching, the actual running side of the coaching, you'll have the nutrition side of the coaching, and you'll have the two tests as well. So I think we're
Value, Brian.
guessing,
It
yeah.
is, let's not guess. Value
Yeah.
wise is €700 for
Yeah.
that price. Okay, so massive prize. And look, again, thank you to Kieran, to Kieran and to Ben for helping us with this prize. But this is a fantastic prize, and one that everybody should be getting, trying to get on and trying to win. It doesn't matter what race you're doing for, but this is a fabulous prize.
And I would say we probably, without, we can start giving out, and we will release more of the prizes over the coming weeks, but it's all high standard stuff. It's not, there's no bottles of wine here. It's all kind of prizes in the hundreds. And we'll detail a bit more of them in the coming
Exactly.
weeks.
So that's obviously Deep South Grand Parade on June Bank Holiday weekend, Sunday. So make sure you're there from roughly about 1 o'clock is when it's going to be kicking off.
Give us a shout out on the polls.
Yes. So we had a poll last week, which was, of course, what is your favorite part of races? So one was the tea or coffee with your friends afterwards, warm up with your friends at the start, or the race itself. And there was quite a resounding win, really. Warm up with the friends, 3.8%. Tea and coffee came in second with 36.5%, so it wasn't didn't do too badly. And the race itself was a winner with 59.6%. So there you go, lads. That's
Quite surprised with the gap there. Actually, I thought the social side of the event would be higher.
yeah, and I honestly, so did I. I look, to be fair, I put down the race itself, so you know what I mean, Brian. Did think it'd be closer with it anyway, but sure, look, that's it. Competitions, Brian.
So again, as you may have heard last week, our competition last week was for the Burnford 4 miler, which actually took place on the May Bank Holiday Monday, which we're actually recording on right now. So obviously the winner has already been announced and notified. So the winner there was Orla Nolan. So congratulations, Orla. I think Orla chose Sharon Hickey to go her running buddy there. And I did think Sharon ran that as well today after a 22 miler yesterday. So a nice
Oh, crap,
hilly
yeah.
recovery run for her
Yep.
today. But again, well done to Burnford, North Cork SC obviously was the club supporting that one. So again, thanks for the opportunity to give away two entries. And if any other clubs would like to do similar, they can contact us as well. And we have another one for this week.
Yeah, so this week, no, this again is going to be another quick turnaround. So we're going to put this post out Tuesday morning early, and you will have till about, we say, Thursday morning where we announce the winner. So if you, sorry, I should say the race first. So it's on the 10th of May at 7:30. It's the Michael Curley Cunningham 4 mile race held by Moore Abbey Milers. So this is, you know, a very, very popular race. Finishing in the Galvalley village in Limerick. Great route, you know, scenic, and of course the most important thing, plenty of grub and tea and afterwards. So make sure now, if you can enter this, if you're entering it, just make sure you can make the race as well. So we will announce the winner on Thursday morning for that as well. So, you know, it's just a nice one again. So tag your running buddy, like our page, and it's as simple as that, and you'll be in the draw.
One more call out before we go to some news. So obviously, again, our YouTube video continues to roll out every week. That's the Cork Marathon Training Plan coming into the peak weeks now, before taper. So again, get on there. It's about 20 minutes or so, video each week. Gives a training plan, answers some questions that people have. And these questions could be relevant to any, I suppose, any marathon, but just running in general as well. So there's something for everybody on it. And most importantly, and in particular this week, we have a prize each week, which is unique. So again, we've prizes on the podcast, but we have a prize each week on the YouTube video as well. And this week's prize is quite special, isn't it, Damien?
This week's is a lovely prize, lads, and if you want to get it, so we have a pair of Asics runners to give away. Now this is worth 160 euros, lads. So like, we're not giving away, we have given away some lovely great prizes. This is our biggest one to date. There's only could be one on the YouTube channel, and there's only two ways you can enter the competition. One, you have to subscribe to the show, and then you have to leave a comment, either a question or just a simple comment to something down below it. And again, we do the question and answers as well on the video. So if you ask a question, we'll answer it the following week. But you have till this Saturday morning, 8 a.m., to get into that draw for the shoes. So head over, subscribe, and comment.
Two last bits that are kind of Athletics Ireland related. So one is good
We'll
news
start with
story.
the good news, because
I was
I
going to say one is a good news story and one is a bad news story. So I was going to start with the bad news story, but
go on, so go on, no, go on, so yeah, we finish on good news.
we finish on good news. So the bad news story, I think you've got to look at it as bad news story anyway, is that Athletics Ireland have announced a price increase, quite significant price increases in terms of percentage. Again, and I know, you know, we shared that post earlier in the weekend there, and certainly got a lot of negative comments back. And I don't know, I think people are probably, I think I know where it's coming from in terms of the negativity, but what's your own thoughts, Damien, on it?
So just to give people a brief one, so the prices have gone up. So juveniles have went from 15 euros to 21.50, so that's an increase of 43.3%. Adults have went from 20 to 26.50, which is an increase of 32%. So, you know, it is a substantial increase. Now, it's also to say as well, they haven't increased their prices in a number of years. So, you know, it was always going to happen at some stage. It's just always a shock when it does happen. Now,
Yeah,
Brian,
but you just before you go, you just before you go off that though, they haven't increased their prices, but they have done things like, so they added the 2 euro charge for non-athletics ordering, which was another, was that a year ago maybe? So that's kind of another, it's like
Oh,
another
I'm
hidden
sorry.
tax, you
I'm
know?
not justifying this by any means, but I'm just giving that as a fact that they haven't increased that part of it. To be honest with you, Brian, I won't lie to you, because of being away and stuff like that, I haven't really looked at it. Give me your point of view on it.
Okay, I tell you where I come from it. I think it's the 80-20 situation here, whereby, you know, the ordinary runner is in the 80%. So I think, you know, if you're, we all want to help the elite runners get to the next level, and obviously that's never more obvious than now with the Olympics coming up, and a lot of that is supposed to be geared towards, you know, high performance athletes and things like that. But it's like everything, the 80% of the ordinary runners out there are funding the 20%, and I feel the 80% of, you know, the ordinary club runner probably feels they're getting nothing back. And like again, you go through clubs. You have clubs that have to, you know, if you want to be a member of a club, you have to do this, pay this fee. The club also has a registration fee. So the club also has a, I can't remember what it is now, but a, you know, a significant affiliation fee as a club. You host the race, you have to pay for your race permit. You know, if you do courses, you have to pay for the courses. So I just, I'm sure there is, and I know Athletics Ireland could come on and say, look, this is what we do for the sport, and we get that. But the average, ordinary, everyday club runner doesn't see it.
Yes, but will this, all right, because like this is a nice time, will this turn people off joining a club? You know, as in this extra fee, you know, and I know like, when you join a club, and we just say most clubs are 50, 60, 70 euros, and you know, they might go up to 65 or 60 odd. And I just wonder, like, are they actually going to turn a few people off joining clubs? And you know, let's be honest, 5, 6, 7 euros is a lot of money, you know, when you're paying for so many other stuff anyway as it is. I don't know, I just think it's a bad move. I just think it's untimely. It's just not a good look, and I will say that much. Just Athletics Ireland at the moment are not doing very well promotional wise for themselves.
I think this is on the back of numbers. Like they're announcing, I believe that registration numbers in athletics has gone up and up and up and up, but the fees ain't coming. You would think the fees should nearly be coming down, or at least staying stable. Okay, turn that last question you asked me around another way. If you had a chance to join a club, and let's just put a round figure, it was €25 to join the club and €25 to join Athletics Ireland separately. But obviously it doesn't work that way. But you would say a lot of people would just join the club and not join the Athletics Ireland portion of it that you kind of, you have to do anyway, you know?
I just think they could have, I don't know, with the increase of the €2 last year, as you are right in saying that, and then this year, it's just that little bit constantly that they're trying to scrape, and where is it going at the end of the day? Because even the top athletes, they're not getting a major amount themselves off it, do you know what I mean? So they're not making millions. And but anyway, look, be interesting to see. I know the vote was, I think, close enough, isn't it? I think it surprised a few people that it did pass, and but it did. But look, we'll see. But on the brighter side, there was two unbelievable results, Brian, over the weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if you watched these. I watched them. I stayed up glary eyed to watch the first the Friday night ones. Was at the heats, and you know, both the men's and women's mixed relay team, and obviously the women's relay team. You know, first and most importantly, you know, were two outstanding performances by the teams, and it did what they went out there to target, and they got Olympic qualification, which was target number one, I suppose. But like some of the performance, like Friday night, I watched it, and obviously the mixed relay team went first. So you had Green, Barr, Adeleke, and Maudsley ran in that, and incredible running, won their heat and won it comfortably. They were, I suppose, when I was listening to the commentators, they were being, you know, Great Britain was being called out as one of the favourites, and can't remember what other team was there, and Ireland were being called out as possibly third favourites in the heat. But Ireland won it, and won it comfortably. And again, as I said, sealed qualification for the Olympics by doing so. Adeleke, again, like, I don't know where to start, because
you can start it. Look,
yeah,
she's the reason they're there. You know, you take her out of it, you're struggling straight off. Like, you know, she was running times of 49 seconds or something, wasn't it?
She got down to 48. Well, we come to that, but like, I have to give a shout to it. And like, I'm not just saying, like, Thomas Barr around the track was laughing, smiling, joking. He looked a real cool character to have in their team, I'd say. But Maudsley ran an incredible fourth leg as well. She was super strong in all the heats that I saw, and, you know, held off some challenges there once or twice. So she's another one who's on the upward spiral, and I think deserves a shout out as well. But yeah, look, the amazing thing about Friday night is they came back out an hour and a half later, both Maudsley and Adeleke, and ran
I know,
in the
that
women's
was so impressive,
form. Yeah, and again had incredible performances. And then roll forward 24 hours, they go back again to the finals, finished third overall in that, and I think they left with €10,000 as a result. But what impressed me majorly about That performance again is again I have to go back to her is Adeleke, who took over from I think was it Green passed Green, so she had a second leg, so Green passed to Adeleke, who was in fourth position behind, like, is it what's the Dutch lady again, that's Kluivert,
Oh,
is it?
right.
No,
Oh no,
not the
sorry,
other one,
not that she was Frank Wilds.
Klaver, is
That's
it? Klaver, I think.
yeah.
Like Adeleke passed, like, this is a name that's been called out so much. She passed her with ease and put 5-6 meters on her, sorry, by the time she handed over the baton again. So ran a 48 something split in that leg. Like, I mean, the whole world of athletics, I see there today, like USA reporters and things that are talking about Adeleke's leg out of all the legs that ran in the 4x4. So she's a phenomenon at the moment. Like,
Yeah, no, and she is. And look, again, you're right with the mixed relay as well, with Worsley coming down the end. Like, she held off, she stayed with it, she kept going. She was with Boyle right up to the end. It was unbelievable running by the whole lot of them. And coming away with bronze is just incredible.
No, definitely so. And like, Log as well. The only thing, as you said, back to your point, and I know the de strength and depth is quite good, but when you take Adeleke and Molsey out of the women's team, then you can't replace people of that standard now.
No, and look, congratulations to them all for making
Absolutely.
the Olympics as well, which is obviously the holy grail for every athlete. And they're going to just go over and tell you they'll go over there with, targets now as well for them on their
Think
back as
so,
well
yeah.
from other teams, because they're all going to go, that's what we're going to have to watch all these groups, because they're talented.
Definitely,
Right, so that's this
yeah.
week's news. With
Okay.
that, we'll head over to our results.
Back to results. And I think when May hits, things go a bit mad, and that's happened already. So a busy weekend of running, and I know over the next couple of weeks there's going to be a lot of races, evening races nearly every night. So we'll start it off again with a trip to the world of IMRA, and we'll hand over to Mags Hassett for an update on that one.
Max Hassett here from IMRA Munster with race reports for the last week. Gary Duff Woods trail race took place on a warm, sunny evening on Wednesday, the 1st of May, with 92 runners signed up, plus the kids from Tobe Gracie. This was the first race in the Summer-Autumn Trail League, and the winners of this race were female 1, Thayer Reardon, 2, Anita Locke, 3, Áine Odí. Male 1, Nick Hogan, 2, Kevin O'Brien, 3, James Murphy. Thanks to RD Derek Walsh and all the volunteers for a great start to the league. The next IMRA race took place on Sunday, the 5th of May, in Glengarriff for the fourth race in the Fog and the Bog League on a beautiful day with spectacular views. The winners of the long course, distance 11 kilometres and 550 metres elevation, were 1, female Sorica Kearney, 2, Goblet Nivunachain, 3, Tricia Tuig. Male 1, Paul Cleary, 2, Aidan O'Brien, 3, Conor O'Brien. The winners of the short course race, female 1, Geraldine Breen, 2, Angela Kelleher. Male 1, Dara Coppinger, 2, Cathal de Hunt, and 3, Erwin de Hunt. Thanks to RD Gerard Harrington and his team and volunteers for another fantastic mountain race. The next race on the Munster IMRA calendar is the Tomies Purple Mountain Race on Sunday, the 12th of May. This is the first race in the Munster Championship.
Thanks a million to Max there.
Delighted. And congratulations to Mags as well on finishing her first marathon in Waterville over the weekend. Beautiful sunshine, it looks a little bit down there. So congratulations, Mags. We got sent a picture and everyone was delighted for you. So congratulations, and I hope you enjoy the celebrations afterwards.
Another busy woman this weekend, getting all her notes together, was Lindy Naughton. So, Lindy, over to you for another update from everything the east of the country and a bit more on the international front as well.
Hello, everyone. Well, we all know what the story of the weekend was, so let's just join everyone else in congratulating Rashida, Charlene, Thomas, Killen, Phil, Sophie, Roisin and Lauren on their splendid runs at the World Relays, which means that Ireland will have two relay teams to cheer on, not only at the Olympics, but also the European Championships this summer. Watching Rashida run that incredible time of 48.45 for her leg in the mixed relay made me think of Johnny Fox, her very first coach at Talla AC, a true legend of Dublin athletics, who died only a few weeks ago and is already sorely missed. He would be so proud of his girl now. Rashida and Charlene are now very definitely in the upper echelons of our sport. Another athlete who may well join them is hammer thrower Nicola Tuttle of UCD, who improved on her own Irish under 23 record with a mighty heave of 68 centimetres at the first Dublin graded track and field meet of the season held at the UCD track in Belfield on Sunday. Tuttle, who's only 20, also had two other throws over 68 metres, and Eileen O'Keefe's Irish record of 73-71 will surely come under threat in the near future. Sprinters were having a busy day in Belfield, and it was good to see Marcus Lawler of St. Lawrence O'Toole back in form and clocking a wind-assisted time of 10:25 in the first A race. Times in the middle distance races were a lot faster at the Irish Milers Club GB Ryan Louis van den Dries meet held in Santry a day earlier. In a cracking 800 metres, five athletes broke 1 minute 48 seconds, among them Cathal Doyle of Clonard Harriers, Killian Carwin of Raheny Shamrock and Cian McPhillips of UCD. Best of the Irish in the women's 800 metres was Jenna Brommel of Emerald AC, who was third in 2:02.75. Winner of the men's grade A 1500 metre race was Louis Mallon of Lagan Valley in 2:44.27. In the women's A 1500 metres, 16-year-old Emily Bolton of Dunor Harriers came home first in 4:24.31. I suspect we'll be hearing a lot more of young Emily. Big road race of the weekend was the Belfast Marathon with Matthew Kilimo Kemboi of Kenya, the overall winner in 2:14.44, and Beatrice Jepkemai, also from Kenya, the first woman in 2:35.03. Best of the local athletes was Alexander Turkey Osman of Annadale Striders, who finished ninth in 2:22.22. What a nice number there. Previous winner, Gladys Ganiel of North Belfast Harriers, finished fourth woman and first over 45 in 2:40.21. Finishing 25th and first M60 was 64-year-old former Olympian Tommy Hughes in 2:36.37. In October 2020, Hughes ran a world age group record time of 2:30.02 for the marathon distance. We suspect he'll be targeting the world over 65 record in the next year or so. In the popular team relay, which attracted well over 1,000 entry teams and is a one to put on your bucket list, honestly, it's a great event. Lagan Valley's mixed team, one woman, came home first in 2:25.31. beating the Lagan Valley men's team. Over the shorter distances, Aaron Pahannan made it a home win for Drogheda and District at the Drogheda 10K in County Louth also on Sunday, crossing the line in 31 minutes, 18 seconds. A close second was Colin Marr of Ballyfin. Raheny's Fiona Roach was first woman and first over 40 in 36:34. And that's all for this week, folks. Apologies for the coughing and spluttering. I hope I will be better by next week. Good luck.
Okay, thanks again, Lindy. Great roundup again. As I said, it's getting busier and busier. So we'll keep going. We've got a busy few nights of athletics to catch up with on the more local front. The first one we're going to go to is the Carrick-Navarre.
We'll leave that to the end. We'll leave that to the end because I have a quick chat with you about that one. So we go to the middle 5 miler first, okay?
We'll move on. Right, so Middleton. Yeah, that's okay with me. I know you just want to talk about yourself. So, yeah. Middleton 5 miler took place on May the 2nd at 8 p.m. And again, it's a very popular race. And again, some names here that are, you know, roll off the page in terms of performances. So Michael Harty, absolutely outstanding runner from East Cork SC, was first on there in a time of 25:30. Second, from East Cork SC, was Tony Forrestal in a time of 25:54. And third, Brian Murphy from Ivra AC. I think I have that right. I know it's a strange pronunciation, but Ivra AC in a time of 26:18. A lady that I think
is not going to be the first time we're going to mention her today, anyway.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, it's just incredible. Keely Tideswell, Clonmel AC in 28:48. Michelle Kenny, 29:29 from Leeville. And third, Nadine Ford from Leeville, also 29:45. But Keely Tideswell is just blowing every single race apart.
Yeah.
But keep going. We'll go on. 347 participants there. So well done to all involved with Middleton AC.
Yeah, and then you had the Drogheda 10K, which had, I think it was Drogheda had over 1,000 odd, I think it was 1,150 or something like that at it. With the winner being Aaron Hanlon from Drogheda and District AC in a time of 31:18. Colin Maher from Ballyfin AC came second in 31:24. So close battle there. And then Vladislav Ezevry. Sorry about that. So that's,
I think you did a good job there.
So 32:04 was in third place. In the ladies, Fiona Roach from Raheny Shamrock AC in 36:33 took the win, with Laura MacDonald in time of 37:28 from Rathfarn AC, and then Aoife Fay from Dunlair AC in 39:42. So well done. Big race of the weekend. So well done to everybody there.
Yeah, our competition from last week was the Burnfoot 5 mile road race, and or was it 4 mile? I think that took place today. And again, winners there, Ray O'Connell was first home from Toker AC in a time of 27:46. Keith Kelly from Yall AC in a time of 27:57. And third, Chris Horgan in a time of 28:40. Ah, here we go again in the ladies' event. It's getting greedy now, I think. First home was Keely Tideswell in a time of 29:29 from Clonmel AC. Second, Rona Dempsey from St. Finbar's AC in a time of 35:46. And third, Claire Madden from Toker AC in a time of 36:50. So again, well done to everybody involved with Burnfoot. Yeah. Quite a hilly race, I believe. So again, I'm sure that tested a few people there today.
Yeah, exactly. Then, so we had a couple of marathons this weekend. All right. One you had in Limerick. You had a 6 miler, sorry, half marathon and marathon in Limerick. Won't go through every single result because we'll be here quite some time. So we just call the winners out of each of them. So in the full, the winner was a legend of a man who is guaranteed to be at our after party. Tudor Moldova took the win in an unbelievable time of 2:24:11. So a new PB. And absolutely just put everyone away very early. 109 first half, I think, or something like that.
109, yeah, it was impressive,
oh,
yeah.
Good God. So,
yeah.
Unbelievable. Delighted for him. I was actually well happy for him when I saw him win it. So, and you could see he was very emotional at the end of it. So, well done to Tudor there. In the ladies was Yelena Tarzvosa from Clonviv Harriers AC, who took the win in, I think, 2:55:46. So a very impressive win there as well. In the half, Peter Samba took the win from Rodel AC in a time of 1:08:26. And ladies, Sally Forrestal from St. Joseph AC took the win in 1:22:18. In the 6 miler, Declan Moore from Bilbo AC took the win in 30:36. So a very impressive time. And then past guest, Shauna Heaslip, took
not
the
Shauna.
Win. Not Shauna, Shauna. Shauna Heaslip took the win from Unreal in 31:59. So I will mention just one or two. So big mention to Dee Grady, who is a big listener to the show from Ennis Track Club, came third as well in that. And also to Sergio Cabano, past guest as well from Clonliffe Harriers, who took second in the half marathon as well.
Yep, great call there by everybody. Another big marathon, although actually just before we go off the Limerick one, I'll just throw it out there again, not to bash anything, but I did get people messaged me quite a few to say that that one went a bit ropey at some stages too, and they ran out of water. And again, this sounds a bit familiar, I know, but medals and ran out of T-shirts. So again, it's just a sign of the times, I think, then. I know my own race here locally next Sunday, we have a top, you know, number that we're going to close out at because we want to be able to manage the event. And I have been asked by people, why can't we enter on the day? And it's for those very reasons that putting a race in jeopardy and putting people's safety in jeopardy. So, look, I wasn't there myself. I can't comment, but I have heard a bit of unrest in terms of the race running out of a number of items, including water. On a very hot day, a lot of people were caught out again yesterday, thinking found conditions very challenging.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I haven't heard anything myself. So if anyone does have, just send us a note. We're not, as I said, we're not bashing. It's just a matter of interest. But we just, you know,
exactly.
We like to hear these kind of things. Big Belfast Marathon, Brian?
Belfast, huge numbers there again, 4,376 finishers. First time there was Matthew Kiplimo from Kemba, I think, in a time of 2:14:44. And in the ladies' event, Beatrice Chepkemi in a time of 2:35:03. So again, well done to everybody who took part in the Belfast Marathon, and again,
Very
some big
high
mark.
standard marathon, Brian. There are some good
Yeah.
fast times, like in the men's, the top three were, very, very close in it. Ladies as well, the top two were very close in it. The great battles up in it, but it's a big race.
Yeah.
So in fairness, big numbers as well in it, so it was great to see. Right, last race, Carrigenvar took
So
place
thought we're going to skip it.
on Wednesday, the 1st of May. With go on.
I was going to apologize to the poor people of Carrigenvard if they had to put up with you last Wednesday, but go through the results first
Yeah,
then.
go through the results, please. Bit of respect, Brian. Wednesday, the 1st of May, as I said. So Mark Walsh took the win from Lee Vale in 15:51. Incredible run. Solo from literally world goal. Unbelievable win from him. Fergus Nugent from Eagle SC took second in 16:47, with Barry Donovan from Cork Track Club in third in 17:13. In the ladies, Linda O'Sullivan took the win in 20:15. Geraldine Hartnett in 21:43 in second, and Ali Phillips from Carrigenvard in 21:49 in third place.
Yeah, and then there was another guy around it too. Well, there was two other people. There was Jonathan, who we better give a shout out to, who had an outstanding performance in fairness, and he's on definitely the upward spiral. And I think he's getting so close to your time that it gave you motivation to go out and run as well last Wednesday night.
Yeah, 100%, because I actually got a text message from Jonathan. Jonathan wasn't meant to do it, but he texted me on Wednesday morning to say he's signed up. And I won't lie to you, Brian, I got very nervous because Jonathan, hasn't beaten me technically yet, Jonathan, so you haven't. That Mallow race doesn't count. I got very nervous, so I went out there. I hadn't a clue. I had 19 minutes in my head is what I was planning on kind of running. And beautiful evening, by the way. Like Wednesday evening was gorgeous, absolutely ideal conditions for running. Got out there, signed up in the new school, picked my number up. New school is fabulous out there, brilliant. It was very easy, simple. Went for a warm up with Fergus and Jonathan, and we got the start line and the race went off perfect. Brilliant to see so many kids there. A bit nuts at the start with all about, as Brian would know when you go to the race, when there's like kids just they take off. But
Still don't go, yeah.
yeah, we'll give a shout out to a fella, a young fella called Cahill, who was finished in, I think, the top. Jeez, he was sub 20 minutes. He's 11 years old. Like unbelievable run by him. Incredible run.
And not to ease his courses either, I don't think,
No,
yeah.
100% not. So the first kind of, I say just over a mile, if not a bit more, is all uphill. Not massive, but it's kind of drag. So I stuck with Jonathan, myself, and a couple others, and we just got the pace right. And then you hit a downhill. And as we hit the downhill, I was like, there was a group of, kind of a bit ahead. And I goes, right, I'm going to try to break there to that group. So I kind of put a bit of a sprint in to catch up with him. And stayed off him, didn't sit with them because I knew they were going to be quicker than I wanted to go. And just stay with him for a while. A couple of little lads came back to me, and it was actually just, you know what? It was a lovely race. I really enjoyed it, right? And the first half a mile, I found difficult to get my breathing right. I just couldn't seem to get, that kind of
Yeah,
nice
but
flow of
it's
breath.
like, as I said to you, like even when I was on a couple of weeks ago, race practice is different to like you can do all the running in the world, but race environment is different, and that's why we've been telling people to run in races in their marathon training as well. You know, it's
100%.
different feel out there, you know.
You have a kind of uphill then in mile two, which is a kind of a tough enough uphill. But then once you take that, you turn left and it's mile and a bit downhill, which is mile is a long time downhill, especially. So, like, I was like, I can't go too hard. I can't go too hard. I can't go too hard. I don't want to die. I don't want to blow up here. I don't want Johnny to be passing me standing on a ditch. You know what I mean? So, delighted, thrilled,
Yeah, had the
came over
runner's
the line.
diary singlet, got it run
Runner's
out.
diary singlet, and it actually really nice fit and really, really nice. Andy was there with Penny, and Mary was there as well, so that was great to have them out. And I finished in eighth place overall, I think.
Very
So
good. Does
delighted.
it give you the hunger to go again?
Yes, it does.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So finishing 18-12. So faster than what I
Very
expected,
good
but
time.
happy with
Very good
that.
time. Yeah, excellent. Right, we'll keep an eye out for you, so in the roads again soon. But I know a lot
Exactly.
of people are asking for you, so good to see you running again, and good to see that you still have the sharpness there. So we'll wrap it on the results there for now, and we'll move to our featured fixtures.
So our first featured fixture is on the 10th of May, which is the Michael Curley Cunningham 4 mile road race, which is taking place at 7:30 and finishing in the Galvalley Village, Limerick. So as we said earlier, very fast race. Lovely quick last mile is one which makes it always easier, and that last mile is going to bring you straight to the food and the teas and coffees, which is the best thing about every race, lads, even though I know we didn't vote for that in the thing, but it is still probably the best part. So that is the first race. Brian, second race is one of yours.
Yeah, the second race is the Boyne 5K that takes place on Sunday, the 12th of May. Now, again, as we've been warning people, this is about to sell out. And it's great that actually races again are starting to sell out. I know I was talking to Karen and Rory again today, and obviously the Eagle race that we'll come to in a minute is sold out as well. But again, it seems to be on the rise, but our race isn't sold out, but looks like it will be sold out prior to the day. And again, there won't be entries on the day. So if you're listening to this and you want to run in the Boyne 5K, you've got to sign up. We again, like I said earlier, we won't risk the safety of people, and we won't risk the quality of our race by an unexpected number arriving on the day that we just can't cater for. So again, car parking, the hall itself, the logistics, the stewarding, we all target a number that we know we can deal with. So anyway, look, Boyne 5K takes place on Sunday. It's a great event. There's an awful lot of work being done in the past few days in getting the village and getting the course ready and getting the community centre ready, and just volunteers that come out of the woodwork and painting the community centre and cleaning up around the community centre. So it's an event like no other event, I suppose, in around the country, that our community comes to life for this race every year. It's when you're living in a rural village, things like this, become a highlight, and we're really looking forward to welcoming everybody to the village and to a good event, and hopefully everybody has a good race
And
and enjoys the spread afterwards.
Brian, 10 o'clock start.
11 o'clock start.
11 o'clock start.
11
There you go.
o'clock start this year. Normally 12 noon, but it's 11 o'clock start this year. Again, we'd encourage people to be there earlier. Get your number on, get settled in, because we do have a proud record of starting our race on time, and we'll keep that going.
Exactly. Also, the Rebel Diamond series finishes up in Butterfin, Brian.
Yeah, so the following Friday night in Buttermint, so it's coming to a quick end. The Buttermint 4 miler, and again, I know entries to that one are going quite quickly as well. Are running high, so again, big interest in the league overall. Buttermint have some great prizes again there, like our own race and team prizes as well. Last year I went there, it was a great effort by the local club. Definitely one to go to. A lovely Friday evening race. Course is reasonably decent, some hills there, but overall it's a good course. So again, I'd encourage everybody to go there. At the moment, Tyco Sullivan is leading in the men's section of the Rebel Diamond League, and Cara Finn is leading in the ladies event. But again, a lot to play for over the next two races.
Exactly. So also then on the 16th of May, you have the Cheetah Run 5K in Forta Wildlife Park, which is organized by Eagle SC. So of course this is a very unique event, which again, as we said umpteen times, you do not get the opportunity to run in a wildlife park, I think, pretty much anywhere. So, it's a brilliant opportunity. Also bring the family down because they'll get in for free and they can have a wander around the park, have a look at all the animals, and enjoy the whole weekend. So that is on, and as Brian said, that is sold
Sold out.
out. So do not turn up on the day without an entry. You will not get in.
Dressed as a cheetah or anything, though?
No, nothing.
No,
You will
still
not get
don't
in
get
with
in.
anything.
I'll be there, though.
You will be there,
I'm
exactly.
running, and my son Sean is running as well, so we're looking forward to that one. Next up is the Tralee 50K Ultra, and that's on the 18th of May. And that's also, I think there's a 10K
No,
loop that
sorry.
they,
So
sorry,
that's no. That's they do 5 10K loops.
5 10K
So
loops,
for
wow.
that, so it's supposed to be lovely. I'm pretty sure Karen has done that before, actually.
Yeah.
So it's a very good event. But so make sure you get a look into that. And the
I'm going to
19th.
do something we don't normally do. I'm going to give a shout out to Eamon Hayes, who's running at that one. Say best of luck to Eamon. I know his hands are full at the moment trying to organise the Cork Marathon, but he's playing on that one as well. So
No, the man.
hard to do both, but best of luck, Eamon, on that one.
Exactly. In the and on the 19th of May, you have the Stonyford 5K and 10K. So taking place in Kilkenny. Again, make sure you get down to support this race. Been on to us. There are plenty going on with it. Very fast, very good courses, very enjoyable, great welcome, and again, plenty of grub afterwards. So make sure you get down to the Sandyford 5K and 10K.
Finally, for today, we have the Docklands 5K, and that takes place out in July on the July 11th. It's a Thursday evening. It takes place at 7:45 p.m. 5K fast loop over the Dublin's Docklands area. Again, it's organised by Crusaders Athletic Club, and you can find out more details on www.docklands5k.com. Docklands5k.com. And
All
that's
right,
it.
that's it. Okay, so with that, we'll move to our interview. So our interview is sponsored by Shoe Rescue. So Shoe Rescue, of course, as everybody knows, is an Irish owned and Irish manufactured product all the way in Middleton. So make sure you get it for the summertime because I'm telling you now, shoes can get dodgy during the summer. And I have been rifling through it at the moment. I'm not gonna lie to you. Even on the weekend there, you go, we were playing soccer on, was it
Soccer, what
Saturday?
age you? Oh,
I
played
know.
soccer.
Yeah, Saturday night. I will say this much. I had to, my nephew decided he wanted to said he was better than all of us. So I said, come
And he
on,
was
let's
right,
go.
I'd say.
He was far from right. He got beaten 10-4 by myself. But enough said. But afterwards, I have no word of a lie, Brian, up into the room. The shoes were a bit damp, a bit wet. So I was like, right, Shoe Rescue, straight into it. Help soaks it all up. And the next morning, ideal. So look, make sure you do support it. And the lads, Eddie and the team down below, are fantastic. So Shoe Rescue, available at Amazon or any good sports shops as well. So Brian, over to you for the interview.
Okay, so we'll go to Jason Nicol now. Again, Jason, as we said, is just back from running the Marathon des Sables, one of the toughest races in the world. Let's hand over now and hear how we got on. Okay, this week I'm delighted to welcome Jason Nicol to the podcast. Jason is fresh from his adventures at the Sahara Desert at the Marathon des Sables, where he remarkably finished, Jason, 29th position, I believe, second fastest Irishman of all time.
That's correct, Brian. Thanks for having me. Okay, on the podcast. I think the dust is finally settling. Okay, on the big adventure.
Yeah, absolutely amazing adventure. And I know we're hearing a bit about it over the last couple of weeks there in various ways. And there's been a lot of interest. We've had people in the past as well who've either spoke about being there or wanting to be there. So I think we're going to pick your brain and a bit later on to find out a bit more about it. But first of all, you're going to be treated like everybody else. So we're going to take you through the rapid fire questions, which will help us understand you a bit more, maybe, and a bit more about your character, maybe. So we'll kick it off with road, treadmill, trail or track.
Oh God! I think I've experienced all of them. I would say trail,
Trail.
right now.
Ultra is kind of your big background, really, is it, at the moment? So,
Not really, I suppose.
no.
Look, but
Yeah.
background historically would have been cross country, track. Moving to road. Marathons and then triathlons, Ironmans, and it's only been actually in the last 12 months, really, that I've kind of really well, year and a half that I've kind of got into the whole ultras. And I think that's where the passion is at the moment.
Okay, brilliant, brilliant. I'll ask you this one. Favorite shoe brand?
Hoka at
Okay, interesting.
the
Very good.
moment.
Miles or kilometers?
Miles.
Okay. Favorite distance, which we know after doing all that you've done, it might be an interesting one to hear the answer to this one.
It'd probably still be the classic marathon distance, to be
Yeah.
honest, but no shorter.
Okay. Your favorite race?
Ooh. Well, I suppose Marathon des Sables, is
Has to be
it
it,
has
no, yeah.
probably been the career highlight.
Yeah, okay.
100%. I think maybe I look a very close. The second would be the Kerry Way, which I completed last September.
Interesting as well, yeah. This could be a very, very topical one. Now, the next question: do you prefer training in hot or cold weather? Considering coming back from the desert, Sahara Desert.
I think I'd prefer the cold weather, you
The
know.
cold.
It's what we're most used to here in Ireland, right?
Yeah. Are you a morning or an evening runner?
Evening, all the way.
Evening. Okay. Three people who you would like to have for a meal or a drink.
Ooh,
It can be dead or alive.
that's a very tough question. I suppose one person would be Kylian, Jornet. He's probably the best long distance trail runner, of our current generation. Love to pick his brains around what sort of training he does. Kipchoge, as well,
Yeah.
mainly because I think he's so strong mentally, and would love to understand a little bit more, okay, around his mental strategies to get going into a race. And the last person, okay, I'm trying to think now.
Doesn't have to be sporting either.
It doesn't have to be sporting. Let me see. Muhammad Ali. All
Wow.
right.
Yeah. That's a nice mix. Yeah. Okay, last question on the rapid fire round is, if you could take the place of another person in their greatest sporting moment, who would it be and why?
Oh God. Greatest sporting moment. You've got me, Brian, there now. Okay, just trying to, I might have to come back to that one. Okay,
We'll come
right.
back to
I'm
it.
actually
Yep.
doing
It does catch a few people out. So if you
that.
think of something as we're going through everything else,
Well,
shout it out there. I want to get a kind of a brainwave on an answer there. So look, again, obviously you're, as I said, fresh back from an absolutely super achievement at probably the, if not one of the world's toughest races. But just to get you know your background, like you've mentioned a lot there about marathons and Ironmans and things like that already. Maybe just to get to know your background in running, maybe you might just fill us in a bit in your career around that, I suppose.
Look, I've been running all my life, I suppose. Would have ran cross country track during secondary school and with UCC. Got into the marathon running, and triathlons. Okay, like in my 20s, I've probably done. I think now I have 12 city marathons completed. But between the jigs and the reels of training for marathons and training for ultras, I've probably done in excess of 30 marathons altogether. I've done two Ironmans, all of which, okay, were in Cork. Lots of half Ironmans. Did the Tralee 50K a number of years ago, really decided, okay, I want to kind of go along. And I think, someone put it into my head, okay, that I should start getting into trail running. And I actually entered the Waterville trail running 130 kilometer race last year, and I hadn't even done a trail race. I hadn't even done any of the Imbra races or anything like that. And I thought I was half mad, but I literally just went up to North Cork into the mountains and trained my ass off, okay, for that. And went down to Waterville, and actually, it was my first DNF. I completed two out of the three laps. Okay, so I did 87, 88K, and to be honest, the goal was just to do one lap. So like, I think I suddenly just got the bug, and I just said, right, what's next? And I decided then to enter the Kerry Way, which is 200 kilometers around Kerry, following kind of the Ring of Kerry in the mountains. And I did that last September, and I finished 13th in just over 28 hours. And I just said, God, the body seems to like going along. I then decided, obviously, I needed to pick another kind of extreme event. I think there was just a hunger and a lust, okay, for these adventures. And I decided, to probably pick a race, okay, that I think that I've always wanted to do throughout my running career. And that was obviously the Marathon des Sables, which was a 253 kilometer, 6 day stage race across the Sahara Desert. Very different, okay, to the mountains of Kerry.
Yeah, and can I just before I suppose we go fully on to the Marathon des Sables, take you back to that Kerry Ultra Way. Obviously, it's a very high profile race in the ultra world within Ireland. How did you go about training for that, and what was the experience over? Like, did you leave there, saying this is for me, or was it challenging? Obviously, it was challenging, but did you kind of feel this is my game now?
Yeah, like having come from the road and done all the marathons, like it was a big change to suddenly, say that you were a trail runner. And I think just with any kind of training I do for any race, I was pretty methodical. Okay, like around how I went about my prep for Kerry Way, and I every single weekend I was either down in Kerry running mountains or up in Killavullen running around the trails up there and running long distances. Okay, in the mountains too. I was out for 4, 5, 6 hours. Kind of in soft terrain, and that and then still, I suppose the marathon training okay stood to me as well, because I still have an element okay of speed in the legs. So I think the combination of the trail and the actual kind of marathon speed work kind of really helped me in September, okay, like went around. But nothing could have prepared a feat, unfortunately, okay, for the summer of we had the wettest summer obviously last year, and the course itself, I remember last year, was just a bog, and I remember the feet pretty cut up pretty badly last September. But I tell you, that was a race that I ran the whole thing nonstop as much as I possibly could, and I just remember kind of saying to myself afterwards that it was just one of the best experiences of my life. And I think I got something from that race that I hadn't got in a marathon in a very long time, and that's obviously then led me to look at other events, okay, like such as the Marathon des Sables,
Yeah, and with ultra races like that, and we say your experience in Kerry, and obviously we'll come on to the Marathon des Sables as well. But like, do you find is there a big difference between running in road races where you're probably around people a lot and in company, as opposed to some of these adventures in the ultra world where maybe it's you and your thoughts and the wild maybe.
Listen, 100%. I think they're poles apart in terms of experience, okay, like and what's needed. I think there is a massive need, okay, to be, I think, mentally strong, for events such as these. I went off in the first wave in the Kerry Way last year, and I think I had one or two people around me for the first 50K, but for the next 150K, I didn't see anyone. And you're obviously running through the night and everything else, and there's crazy thoughts going through your head, and your body just wants to stop. And you're obviously trying to find you're obviously trying to find a way to keep moving. When the body okay is just looking to stop and walk,
And
and sleep.
obviously then as well, like, I'm just thinking myself, even the change from the marathon runner, where you're probably self-sufficient as well out there. There's no water table every 2 miles or anything like that,
Yeah, you're right, and I think that I think I suppose it comes down to really adapting to the conditions, preparing for the conditions, understanding okay, like how your body can cope, going kind of long distances, okay, maybe without a lot of water, and understanding maybe when you get to the next aid station what you need to take on, to stay awake, or to drive on, because I think these long races, things will always inevitably go wrong, and you need to just have a plan B and a plan C, in your pocket, So, I'd be someone okay who do an awful lot of visualization work, okay, like before a race, I wouldn't document okay, like how a race might unfold, but I would think through okay how I want the race to unfold, and just play that over and over and over again. And I find okay that just helps me in my preparation. And I kind of found I did a little bit of that okay for the Kerry Way, and I think it worked out pretty well in the end.
Very good. So you finished the Kerry Way, and next challenge, you're saying to yourself, okay, I want to take on the Marathon des Sables. And I suppose before we even go to the event, like the whole thought process, the logistics even beforehand, the preparation, the training, etc., take us through that.
Yeah, like I kind of didn't even know where to start myself, right? Because I can't really honestly say that I'm an experienced multi-day adventurer or a highly experienced trail runner. I was a marathon runner, trying to prepare for one of the toughest foot races. Albeit I knew I had a bit of an engine to potentially go the distance, but I obviously had to look at the race and kind of break things down into components in terms of what my nutrition plan okay might be, what my training plan okay should be. I spoke with one person okay who had previously okay done the event okay to pick his brains okay but fundamentally I didn't speak to too many people because I think I knew my own body, I knew what sort of training kind of I had to do. One of the things okay that I had to do okay was I knew I just had to get the body strong and the legs strong, and it's very hard okay to obviously train in sand and train in heat. I think in the lead up okay to the event, I suppose maybe before Christmas, like one thing I did was I actually did the Malaga Marathon. I did a lot of training with St Finbar's Athletic Club as well, and there's a great gang of lads okay and girls that go over to Malaga every December, okay, and I decided okay to do that marathon, and I did that okay, really okay to just keep the pace in the legs, right? Because like I think a lot of people sometimes neglect okay the I suppose speed training or interval training, and I think what I was trying to do okay like is was get to get strong, but again to maintain okay my speed. So I did a Malaga marathon again in December, and then come January it was really the training was really dialed in then in preparation for the marathon this Ab. So again a lot of time spent in the hills, running on soft ground. I went down okay to Inch Beach actually one day, probably on one of the worst days of the year, with my backpack. Backpack running okay was actually a key element of my training. I used to go out running with a backpack, that weighed between 3 kg up to 7 kg. But like I said, I went down to Inch, ran the sand dunes okay for 6 hours down there. On a very bad day, driving wind, sand going everywhere, and that ultimately kind of like was simulating some sort of conditions, minus the heat, obviously, that I might experience in the Marathon des Sables. And what I did as well, was in the 2 weeks before the Marathon des Sables, I actually, myself and father, we built out a homemade heat chamber, in the front room at home. We got some house insulation paneling and a few 2x2s, and built up the insulation chamber around the treadmill, and I simply got into the heat chamber every evening for 1 hour, for the 2 weeks before flying out to Morocco, and I was able to get the heat chamber up to high 30s, low 40s, and I think that was a key element of
And
the training.
you're running on a treadmill inside in the heat chamber, is it?
Yeah, you're running in the heat. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And I think heat adaptation, okay, I think was just an important part, okay, of my strategy. And I think from what I read on it, it's really only applicable kind of 10 days, 2 weeks, before kind of an event like this. In terms of the logistics then, I flew to London Gatwick, and from there then I met up with a couple of hundred other athletes. There was a chartered flight okay from Gatwick into a regional airport in Morocco called Croisette. And we had a 6.5 hour bus journey from there into the heart of the Sahara Desert, okay, to the first bivouac. The bivouac is actually the camp. So we were kind of located on the kind of Moroccan Algerian kind of border nearly. And that was essentially going to be our base for the first couple of nights.
I just can't even begin. Like, I know you used to talk about you went to Inch and running on the beaches and, the heat chamber at home, but I just can't even begin to imagine how you could really possibly prepare at all for an event like this. It's so extreme,
It is, I think, but all you can do is control the controllables, right? And I think, one of the biggest parts of the preparation was your rucksack, your running bag, and getting the weight of that bag down to a manageable level. And packing that bag on multiple occasions, because you know you needed to know how to pack your bag properly, because you never know when you needed to pull something out from the bottom of the bag or the top of the bag, and you needed to know where things were. But you know, ultimately, it was just about dialing that nutrition plan in as well as best possible, and knowing what to bring with you. And there was also mandatory equipment, okay, that the organizers insisted, okay, we are bringing. And I think the first day in the desert was all about the medical and technical checks. So they kind of went through your rucksack to check to see whether you had all of the required equipment, okay, for the week. And they checked your calories as well. So there was a minimum of 2,000 calories, okay, that you had to have, you know, for every day, which isn't a lot considering that you're burning over 5,000 calories. I actually opted, okay, to bring close to nearly 23,000 calories, okay, with me, which was a little bit higher, okay, than a lot of other athletes brought. But my plan, okay, like, you know, was to consume as many calories as I could as early as possible in preparation for the double marathon day, which was actually on day three, you know. But but that extra bag weight, you know, also proved, okay, like, you know, to be a bit of a challenge, okay, like, you know, during the race.
So take us through the numbers. So, like, how many people take part in this event, how many days, what's the distances, etc.?
Yeah, so in this year's event there was over 850 athletes from around the world. It consisted of six stage races. In total, okay, it was 253 kilometers. So day one, we had, I think, over 31 and a half kilometers. Day two was nearly a marathon distance, 42 kilometers. Day three was actually a double marathon day. So we had 85 kilometers with over 1,100 meters of elevation gain. Day four, we had another marathon. Day five, we had 33 kilometers. And on the final day, we actually had a half marathon. And this year, okay, they actually decided to kind of change things a little bit. So, like, the double marathon day typically in the past was on day four, but this year they decided to have it on day three, which, you know, was a big, I suppose, bone of contention, okay, for athletes, because it meant the bag was going to be a little bit heavier going into day three. And what they did was, as well, the last stage was always traditionally a kind of a non-timed stage, where results would have been determined, okay, say after stage five. But this year, okay, they decided, okay, that it was going to be a timed stage, you know, so ultimately a lot of placings were going to be decided, okay, on the last day. A lot of people had to run hard on that final.
So 800 people come to the start line, and are you basically self-sufficient then from there on into this day six, is it?
You were self-sufficient the moment, okay, you know, the bus dropped you into the heart of the desert. We had two nights, okay, in the bivouac before stage one, and you know, we needed to have all of our food, our dehydrated meals, you know, for those days, including, okay, what we needed for each of the stage races.
And what heat temperature are we talking about here now?
Yeah, so, like, I think the temperatures, okay, like, you know, ranged from, you know, I suppose maybe 8-10 degrees at night, okay, like, on the long stage, it got up to 52 degrees centigrade. You know, I think the long stage, okay, like the double marathon day was obviously the toughest for all athletes, because, you know, we tended to be out all day. But, you know, you're talking about temperatures, okay, like in the high 30s, early 40s, okay, like, you know, for the majority, okay, of the stage races, you know.
No Irishman is meant to be running in that type of heat.
No, I think, and it's certainly hard to prepare for it, but I think, like, you know, I can talk a little bit if you want, okay, like, about the clothing, for example. So, I think us Irish, okay, obviously aren't made for such high temperatures. And, you know, what I simply had was a long sleeve running top. You know, I had kind of nearly knee length shorts. I had a running hat, you know, that a sun hat, okay, that protected the side of my face and my neck. You know, and, you know, that, believe it or not, was actually the same. I had to wear the same clothes morning, noon, and night for the entire week. Okay, like, you know, so because of weight, we only brought I only had the same clothing to get me through the entire week, which again, you know, was a bit of a challenge, because, you know, after stage three of the race, my clothing had become so crusted, okay, with sand, with sweat. You had no way of washing your clothing. There was just sand everywhere that, I think kind of running every single stage, okay, with kind of a crusted, sandy, sweaty top was probably wasn't the most pleasant experience, okay, but
One you definitely couldn't prepare for.
no, certainly not.
And in terms of like the temperatures, and it might sound a very silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Like, does it sunburn or anything like that? Do you become uncomfortable because of it, or is the gear
The
doing its job, I suppose?
sunburn, okay, was never an issue for me anyway, because look, I had sun cream on every day. It was mandatory that you brought sun cream and that you wore sun cream. You're so well covered up, okay, it's pretty good. And after the end of every stage race, there was only one place, okay, you wanted to be, and that was under your tent, getting out of the sun. So you weren't really in it, that much, but you were so well covered, okay, it protected you. But the conditions were pretty brutal. The first half of the race, or the first 3 days, we had very little wind, which made running very, very challenging, because cooling effect, and a lot of the terrain in the Sahara Desert is actually over rocks. Sharp, jagged rocks, which radiate the heat back onto the body. And it was particularly challenging, okay, like on day three, during the 85K. There was very long stretches of running in dried up lakes, where you might be running in a straight line, okay, for 5, 8 kilometers, and with nothing to see other than a cracked kind of, dried up kind of bit of ground, and you couldn't see any other athletes around you, and the heat was just bouncing, from the ground back up onto you. It was yeah it was it was it was tough,
And navigating your way around then, is there like a route to follow, or is it again, are you on maps or compasses, or what, how does it get at work?
Yeah, so like the compass was part of the mandatory kit. However, I never needed a compass. The organizers had the course well laid out. So, like I said, there were 6 stage races, and generally, probably every probably 800 meters, or maybe even less than that, 600 meters, there tended to be a rock, painted in pink, or there was a flag marking the course. However, because a lot of the race was on sand, it was very easy, okay, to follow people's footprints as well, right? So
Unless you're
they didn't,
first. Yeah.
yeah, that's it, okay, like but it was navigation, okay, was pretty easy. It was quite challenging, okay, for the athletes that were out in stage three, that obviously had to go through the night to complete the stage. I think I've heard reports, okay, that they couldn't really see the rocks or the reflective strips on the rocks, okay, that easily. But that's part and parcel, okay, of the race. I think you need to know how to navigate, and you need to know how to read a compass. And I think every athlete, I believe, probably prepared quite well for that.
The physical challenge is one thing, the mental challenge of it, again, how did you work your way through that? Again, being isolated a lot, I say, and out there so long on your feet.
Yeah, it was quite tough. I think, for me, a couple of things happened in the race that kind of led to a bit of, I suppose, a mental breakdown. Even after the second stage, I'd done a couple of things wrong. Okay, even with all my preparation, I didn't drink enough on day two, and I crossed the line in a bit of a heap. The medical staff, okay, had to pull me aside. They were checking blood pressure. I was seeing stars. But not only that, okay, like my shoulders had completely locked out because of the weight of the bag. I think my bag was simply a little bit too heavy. Like the starting weight of my bag on day one was around 11 kg, including water. Compared to a lot of people's kind of maybe 8, 9 kg, including water. I suppose the race wasn't going according to plan, right? Even though I was kind of placing kind of quite well on day one, day two, I was in a very, very low place, okay, after stage two, knowing that my shoulders were in a very, very bad place, and I was having to go into a double marathon stage, okay, the next day. And I think you know, that proved, okay, like, you know, to be the lowest point. They say everyone has a bad day, you know, and certainly stage two was my bad day, and I kind of had to, I had to pick myself up, okay, like, you know, quite fast, because that's the thing about racing in the desert. You know, when you're finished these stages, like, there's another stage race the next day. So, you know, you try to, you got to get the food into you and prepare the body and recover. But in this case, my body was so locked out, okay, like, you know, that, like, the medical staff, unfortunately, while they acknowledged I had muscular problems with my trapezius muscles, they weren't willing, okay, to do anything for me, because you're self-sufficient, right? They're really only going to look after you if you're on death's door. So I remember asking one of the lads, okay, just you know, do a bit of get his elbow, and, you know, and get the elbow into the traps and try to loosen them out. And I had to make a big decision, okay, like, on the evening of day two, you know, to lighten the bag weight. So I actually got rid of some food, which, you know, is a no-no. So, like, I managed to kind of lighten the bag by around 3/4 of a kg, by, you know, taking a little bit off my porridge every morning, my porridge oats or my recovery powders and everything else. And I went around the tent, around the bivouac, looking for gaffer tape, because I actually caught up my sleeping mat, and I used the sleeping mat to create an extra bit of shoulder padding, okay, like on the bag, and then used the gaffer tape, obviously, to kind of fix that in place. And you know, and to be honest, I was actually quite fortunate. Okay, I think everything that I did on that evening actually worked for day three, because it was actually day three that I suppose I started moving up the rankings in a big way. I had a great day three, which was, you know, just a massive turnaround, okay, like, you know, because I was so beat up after day two, mentally, you know, that it was, you know, I had that polar opposite feeling, okay, after day three, knowing, okay, that I had just, you know, done really well in that stage.
And just to give us an idea of, and again, because look, so few people would have even heard about this or even, you know, done it, very, very few, but like you're out there getting through whatever distance it is on that day, and you come back, and as you said, you're preparing your food again for the following day. Like, what happens? Is there, I'm sure there's no Kaylee going in the evening where everybody meets and gets together. Is it just total rest in your tent, or?
So it's actually a great question. You know, so like one of the first things that happens when you cross the line is that you're given a 5-liter drum of water, okay, that you have to use then, you know, to rehydrate your body, and you need to do that, you know, to cook your food, and you also need to use that water to fill up your water bottles, okay, for the next stage. So it was 5 liters. So typically, okay, like you'd walk back to your tent. One of the first things I did was I took a Kinetica protein and carbohydrate shake. You know, just you needed to get the protein into you straight away. I then used to go up to the medical tent where, you know, every athlete had the ability to disinfect their feet, but it was also an opportunity to inspect the feet, right? You know, but unfortunately, like, I think most athletes, you know, unfortunately get blisters. And in my case, I actually got 4 blisters underneath my toenails after the long stage. And I used to have to syringe them every evening. You know, the medical team literally provided syringes, okay, and bandages and iodine to athletes. So you go up to the medical tent, there could be another 50-100 athletes up there doing the same thing. You know,
you're not really selling this, are you?
No, it was pretty, I suppose, like I for, like, for someone, okay, who you know, who plans everything usually down to a T, I hadn't really planned, okay, for syringing my blisters, right? And the medical team will give you instructions on what to do, but it was another thing actually doing it. And I think it was probably one of the biggest learning curves from, you know, the race, was to have better knowledge of how to treat your feet and look after your feet, you know. And you know, I think that was the routine, Brian, you know, like going up to the medical tent, unfortunately, treating your blisters, wrapping your blisters. And then you had the awful job of trying to keep the sand out of the blisters, because sand was just going everywhere. And, you know, there was a couple of sandstorms that we got, okay, like as well, which I can talk about a little bit later on. But it was about keeping your feet clean. And it was often the case, okay, that you might have to rebandage your toes maybe two, three times. And you'd often wake up in the morning and you'd have to you know, rebandage the blisters in advance of the next stage. I was quite lucky. I know I'm probably grossing people out by saying kind of the blisters under the toenails, but that actually wasn't too bad. Like there was people there with serious lacerations, serious blisters underneath their feet, you know, that were bleeding. And a lot of people had serious muscular injuries. At least while my toenails were coming off, you know, they kind of stayed on, okay, like, you know, for most of the race. And at least my blisters, okay, were on the top of my toenail, kind of rather than on the underfoot, which can be quite painful. But, you know, I think, you know, it was about going back to the tent, relaxing, lying down. It was about getting some food into you. So I was using Firepot meals, which were kind of a dehydrated meal. I was getting 900 calories, okay, like, you know, per meal. You know, I used to have a couple of oat bars, you know, but you're quite limited. But because I actually got rid of some food on day two, I was very much down to kind of 1400, 1500 calories, okay, by day five. You know, and, you know, I suppose I was feeling that, okay, like a little bit. I was very hungry, okay, right, by day five. You know, but yeah. So I suppose you know, so that was the process, okay. I suppose, like, you know, and then obviously, like, you know, you're sharing a tent with seven other lads. In my case, I was with a great group of lads. There was two English, okay, and the rest, okay, were Irish, and we were all strangers at the start of the week, but we were best friends by the end of the week. And you know, you're sharing this tent, and you have literally, you know, 3/4 of a meter to yourself, and you've got snorers in the tent, you have people cooking in the tent, you have people treating blisters in the tent. You know, so that was a challenge in itself, right? You know, was just you know, not, you know, being someone who's used to space, and being in a kind of confined space, I thought, okay, was pretty challenging at the end of the week. And but you know, we were a real team at the end of the day. We were all there for each other, and everyone, okay, used to be getting up to go to the finish line to cheer someone on and welcome them back to the bivouac, because I think that was everyone's goal, was just complete every stage, was just to kind of come home injury free and prepare yourself to go again the next day. You know, and that was the routine.
Was sleep easy to get, or difficult, as you say, in that kind of atmosphere of a tent?
It was very hard, to be honest. I think, you know, I had a very, very thin sleeping mat, and, like, unfortunately, where the bivouacs were set up, like, it was quite a stony kind of terrain, and, like, you'd be turning sideways, and sure, you'd feel another stone, okay, digging in, okay, to your back, or, you know, whatever. But I think, look, you know, if you got 4 hours a night, you were doing well. We got, unfortunately, okay, the last two nights of the race, the camp got hit with two sandstorms that pretty much, okay, flattened our tents. So we had all you can do in that situation is to take every bit of personal belonging you have and make sure it's in your sleeping bag, and to zip up your sleeping bag and literally bunker down until the storm has passed. But the two storms in question were bad enough, okay, where we were just wide awake practically the whole night. You know, just hoping to God, okay, the whole tent wouldn't be blown a couple of kilometers, okay, down the desert, right? Yeah. You know, so it was pretty crazy, okay, but like an experience. Mm-hmm. But at the time, you know, all you want is a bit of sleep. You know, but
you had a bad moment in night two. You said you came back strong in day three. You know, after that, was there any thoughts in not finishing, or were you strong all the way to the finish?
No, I think I was so pumped after day three. I think I was 24th overall in after stage three. Well, I finished 24th, I think, on stage three, and you know, I think I did an 11:40, and I had moved up the rankings, and my shoulders were great. My shoulders were absolutely perfect. Okay, and I think I knew after getting through stage three that I was in a good place. But stage four was still a marathon. So like, and like it was stage four was actually the actual marathon this ab. Like, so like practically the full marathon was on soft sand. And I think the sand was a challenge, okay, for every athlete. Some parts, okay, might be hard sand, okay, but in a lot of the cases it was actually on soft sand. And at this point,
Trains
okay,
the legs, I'd say.
you're quite fatigued, okay, come stage four. And like it might only be the a tiny little climb, but because the sand is so soft, like it just takes so long to get up the minor climbs, and even coming down the other side then just zaps the legs, and I think but look, that's what we signed up for, right? And it's called Marathon of the Sands for a reason.
Exactly, Okay, so we've taken up a good bit of time, so we'll try and get to the end stages of it. So take us through the final stage maybe, and the whole experience and finishing and so on.
Yeah, so like I suppose the final stage was a half marathon stage, and like at this point, kind of I was in the top 30, and like I didn't go over there, okay, with the intention, okay, of doing well in this race. I think the goal, okay, was top 100, and but like I obviously wanted to retain my top 30 position at this point. So like it was very much game face on, and a couple of the British athletes, they were pretty funny, okay. Like they came up to my tent, and they there was some of them were sitting behind me, or they were in a couple of places behind me. They said they were going to run pretty hard themselves and try to run me down. The last stage was grand. Like, I think, look, it was grand in the sense, like, it was 21 kilometers, right? It wasn't 85 kilometers, or it wasn't the marathon distance. There wasn't too much climbing involved. It was a fast stage. I think I did it in 1:44. And I was all out for it. It was, I think the legs were, I just had nothing in the legs, okay, by the last day. I was wrecked. But as it turns out, like it was also my best stage in terms of placing. I think I placed 20th on the last stage.
And would you
So
put that back to your what you said earlier, your marathon training and speed, maybe?
I think so. I think so. I definitely think like I was coming off a 2:51 marathon in Malaga, which I'd done in December, and I think the speed, endurance had really, really helped me. I think, okay, probably in the last couple of days of the event. But I think, I don't know. I just think, what I mean? Like, look, a lot can happen, okay, in these races. Like the other thing that actually happened, okay, if we have time, I'll tell you. Like on the second last stage and on the marathon stage, my bladder actually burst. Okay, like, so I had a liter of electrolytes and carbohydrate mix literally just going all over my shorts. And
One thing you don't need, I'd say.
it was one of the biggest mistakes I made in my preparation in bringing a hydration bladder. I got that wrong, and I was just very fortunate, okay, that it happened on the second last stage, and it didn't happen at the start of the marathon itself, because I would have been pretty stuck, okay. Like, I would have had nothing else, okay, to carry my fluids. Luckily, I had backup cycling 750 ml bottle that I was able to use, okay. Like, when I got to a checkpoint on the second last stage, and I had that for the final stage as well. But I think, look, I think, going back to that last stage, I think it was just a sense of euphoria. Obviously, crossing the line was simply amazing. I think all I ever wanted to do was to complete this race, and kind of complete it, I suppose, in a healthy state. And I tell you, it was no word of lie. It was probably one of the best experiences of my life, anyway, for sure. And I think
Huge achievement,
certainly,
you see. Huge achievement. 800 started, how many would finish it?
I think this year, okay, wasn't, I think they had probably maybe 100 people that didn't finish, okay, which it was actually a massive result. I think in general, yeah. So like, I haven't actually looked, but I think around 100 people, okay, like didn't finish. you know, which is actually pretty impressive.
But for you, like again, I know you're saying you didn't go there to, you just wanted to finish it, as you said, but like you finished 29th out of the 800 that started your, I think, the second fastest time from an Irishman
It's
now.
the second highest finishing
Second
place.
highest, yeah.
You know, the course changes every year, so I think the
Time
distance
is yeah,
changes
okay.
some the but someone told me halfway through the event that I was in the second ever highest kind of position by an Irishman, and suddenly
Okay.
the Irish lads started putting a little bit of pressure on me, okay, to maintain my position. But
Yeah,
look,
yeah.
I think the result was just a bonus. I think I was kind of blown away by the result.
Yeah.
You know, but I'd obviously trained hard as well for it. You know,
Of
so.
course, yeah. What happens afterwards? Everybody comes across. Is there huge celebrations, or is it like go and get some rest?
All we're looking for to do was just to have some beers. So, like,
Yeah.
literally, you think we're crossing the line, hoping that there might have been a can of Coke or a kind of a nice burger or a pizza truck or something like that. But instead, we were given two tins of tuna, an orange, and a water bottle, and told to get onto the bus. And it was 6.5 hours back then to Croasuret. And luckily for us Irish, we were straight into a 5-star hotel where we were treated to a buffet meal, and it was just an unforgettable experience. Just being able to eat as much as you possibly could. They see a toilet for the first time, okay, like in 7 days, to sleep on a bed.
Yeah.
It, again, just have a shower. Like a shower was just incredible. I think I could have probably made a couple of sandcastles from the amount of sand, okay, that was in the shower tray
Mad,
after
isn't
showering for the first time. It was
it? Yeah.
just it was
Incredible.
crazy.
Every step of it sounds like an adventure in itself. So it's an amazing story. I'll ask the question that we nearly always ask, but certainly in your case, what's next?
What's next? You're not the first person to ask that in the last 2 weeks. I'm currently potentially looking at a 24-hour ultra. Don't know which race as of yet. I've entered Spartathon as well, okay, like in Greece. However, I'm on the waiting list, okay, for that. So I probably won't know until May or June, okay, like, whether I'm able to compete. But I think, look, there's one thing I do know, is it's going to be long, one way or the other.
You're one of these people that I'm going to have to ask this question. I haven't asked it since we've had the person on, but just the Barclay Marathons would be one on your list at any time. We know Laz know ourselves now, so we can put in a good word for
Oh, I wouldn't say no to it. I think, look, for me, it's all about kind of picking tough challenges. And a lot of people have asked me, would I go back and do Marathon des Sables again? And I've said no. I think I'm one and done. I think I like just doing different events and picking tough challenges. And like the Barclays Marathons is certainly up there as one of the toughest, but I think it's pretty hard to get into as well, right? So if you've got contacts, maybe speak with the powers that be and try to get me a
Well,
place.
according to Laz, when we interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, he told us that it wasn't that hard after all to get in. But anyway, people can figure it out. Yeah. So, Jason, look, honest to God, I didn't know what to expect. Kind of, sometimes when we're talking to a lot of road runners and marathon runners and people that, this is a bit different, but I think it's very, not saying everybody's going to be queuing up to sign up to Marathon des Sables, but it gives us a bit of an insight into a world that maybe not many get to see. So really appreciate your time. I think it was full of information there. And I'm sure you, when you go back to the beaches now over the summer, you'll be looking at them in a very different way this time than you did before you went to the Marathon des Sables.
Yeah, you can say that. Myself and my wife, we actually were down in Warren Strand there last week. And I was, she said, "Okay, let's go for a bit of a run." And I think I shied away and said, "No,
Yeah.
not a chance. I don't want to see sand now for a long time."
Yeah,
You
I can
know, and
imagine.
that's the way it's going to be for another while, I think.
Jason, whatever it is your next trip anyway, or adventure, best of luck with it. And we hopefully will hear a bit more from you and touch base with you again on it. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Brian. Cheers. Appreciate it.
Well, Okay, thanks a million again, Jason. That was quite interesting to say the least. It's one I won't be signing up for, and I'm sure it's one day I won't be signing up for, or a lot of people will be, but still fascinating to hear the insight of what it takes. As I say, as he said, he's the second, I believe, second highest finishing Irishman that has run in the Marathon des Sables now. We'd be all off to practice on the summer beach, the beaches over the summer, and see if we're in shape to do it next year, maybe.
It's brilliant. Like it's as in sorry, that's brilliant. Like it is an unbelievable race. It's an incredible event, and some run by Jason.
I
Unbelievable.
just think it's the things around it. So, like again, he practiced on, the sand dunes down in the inches it, and like again, he said himself and his father built a heat chamber in their house, where he ran in a treadmill, mimicking 30 to 40 degrees, whatever 30 degrees heat inside the heat chamber, self-built heat chamber. But yeah, the whole event is mad. Treating his blisters himself and things like that is just,
Mad stuff, isn't
runners
it?
are mad people at times, I think, aren't they?
Yeah,
Yeah.
oh, we that but they are.
Right, busy week. Yeah, a
Busy,
busy week
busy week.
and busy week to come.
So looking forward to this week now. Plenty of running this week, Brian. We'll be back at it. Obviously, again, please support our fundraiser for Dublin Hospital and Breakthrough Cancer. So get on to our website, or sorry, get on to our Instagram page, or head over to Ronan Wogan Sports, and they will sort you out there. We'll have links everywhere this week anyway, so please support that. But again, thank you to everybody who has listened. Thank you to Jason for the interview today. Thank you, Brian. And we will talk to you all next week.